Good morning. It is 10:01 a.m. We are here today, January 27, 2022, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing continuation of OPAPA 21-010, John Dell International Inc., DBA, JMI Edison versus the Guam International Airport Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jack Hernandez and Tirza Bagana. Will appellant JMI please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Joseph Rosano for JMI, and Mr. Elau is present on the Zoom. He is our representative.
Thank you.
Where's Mr. Walsh this morning?
Mr. Walsh is not feeling well and is not able to come to work because of the COVID protocols.
Okay.
Will purchasing agency GIAA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. William Brennan, Ariola Law Firm for the AB Wompat, Guam International Airport Authority. Present on behalf of the airport is Mr. Henry Cruz, the airport supply management administrator. Thank you.
Thank you. Will interested party Aircraft Service International Inc., DBA Menzies Aviation, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record.
Good morning. This is R. Marcial Johnson on behalf of Interested Party Aircraft Service International, Inc., DBA Menzies Aviation. We do not have any institutional representatives present.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Mr. Rosano, have you had a chance to review the filing made by Mr. Johnson the other day?
I have, Your Honor.
Do you have a motion for us this morning?
I mean, my only motion would be to set the case for trial and to issue dates for exhibits and witnesses. While I reviewed what Mr. Johnson filed, it doesn't change the fact that there is an agency decision that has to be upheld. And so, you know, if Mr. Johnson wanted to challenge that at the CLB, or if he wanted to file something in the Superior Court to try to do something to, I guess, invalidate the order of the agency, then he could do so. But as it stands, there's an agency decision that has to be respected by this agency. And so we feel like if he wants to pursue some of those issues, certainly, if he can prove relevance, then of course he should be able to do that. So I don't have any different motion than that.
I'm disappointed. We'll set the record. I guess we'll move forward with the motion. Your motion, Mr. Johnson. Yes.
You mean with argument on the motion, Your Honor?
Yes. Okay. Just so we can set the record so that Mr. Rosano and Mr. Walsh will have something they can take up.
Okay. Well, Your Honor, we believe that the decision of the CLB is clear based on at least past testimony in the last hearing that there was no, at least in the findings and decisions in that case, that there was no discussion when it came to any hearing at the CLB before this decision was issued. And the same applies for here. We asked for any documents showing an accusation or a notice to appear before the CLB or any documents relating to any hearing before the CLB, and none was conducted. It appears that Mr. Elau drafted the drafted the findings and decisions for the CLB and then emailed that draft to Mr. Orsini, and then asked him as a favor to issue a decision, which he did word for word, so that they could provide that on the last possible date before the hearing that was supposed to be in this matter on December 27th. It looks like no administrative protocols or no due process were ever provided to Menzies before that decision was ordered, was provided. Based on the testimony by Ms. Nita Bailey, and based on the even the writing in the decision, it says that it's your complaint is open. Ms. Nita Bailey testified at the TFT hearing that your complaint is open means that the issue is not closed and it's not a final decision before the CLB. So based on the foregoing, we don't believe that this decision and order issued on December 22nd, 2021 by the CLB should be afforded any deference or that it should be given really any consideration at all. It's as I said before, it's a nothing. It's basically something that was provided to JMI as apparently a favor, I guess, so that they could help sway the public auditor's decision in this motion. And so it shouldn't be provided any consideration. Again, in our motion for summary judgment, we raised the fact that under, I think it's 21 GCA 70101C, there's an exception that applies here, given the fact that these are finished products that are being installed that do not become a fixed permanent part of the structure. We provided a case law that supports that, that this falls into an exception under the CLB statute, whereby the CLB statute does not apply to the installation of finished products that do not become a permanent part of a fixed part of the structure. So for those reasons, the CLB doesn't apply in this procurement. No license is required to do the scope of work in this case. We ask that the public auditor at least rule that no CLB license is required as a matter of law in our favor. And alternatively, if the public auditor does not feel it's in the position to do this, that at least let the situation play out at the CLB so that we can reach the bottom of whatever happened at the CLB.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Brennan, did you wish to be heard before you?
Just on two points, if I may, Mr. Public Auditor. The first being, I need to be clear that the airport did not join in the motion for summary judgment of Menzies. And that's just because we find that our motion to dismiss, we think, appropriately resolves this matter. But just for the record, we are not joining in the motion for summary judgment if you grant relief on that basis. The other point I would make is I went back and listened to the recording of the motion to dismiss hearing held on January 6th. And the only issue that I want to be clear about as to that hearing was there was a statement made by JMI's counsel that the decision of the CLB should be afforded by this body some sort of deference. And he, you know, specifically referred to the Chevron or Skidmore sliding scale doctrines. Based on the supplemental filing of Menzies earlier this week, Mr. Public Auditor, the airport just needs the record to be clear that these are critical services the airport needs to function. And we were here first on December 27th on the motions. We're now here on January 27th. And all that's been developed on the record is there are many issues over at the CLB that these two parties need to work out. And until those are resolved, we just don't think this protest appeal is properly before this body, at least as to that basis. And so for all the reasons stated previously on the 6th, we'd ask you, Mr. Public Auditor, to dismiss this appeal, allow the parties to resolve the issues at the CLB. And we think that's in line with your precedent in the JRN case that we cited in our motion, as well as the GTA case from earlier last year. Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor.
Thank you. Mr. Zana.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, just for the record, I'd like to say that obviously the Sunshine Act request works. The law is being followed and all documents that are received with respect to this have been produced. And so there's nothing nefarious that's going on. In fact, Mr. Elaus made a complaint against Menzies and followed up on that complaint. And there was nothing that was hidden from any party. Everything was produced and is before the auditor. I think the characterization of doing a favor for somebody is wrong. I mean, you could look at it any way, but if people are allowed to petition the government to make determinations on their behalf. And that's, in fact, what went on. Menzies complains about due process, but the real problem with their due process claim is that they have never applied for a license. If they applied for a license and they were denied a license, then the statute requires that they get due process and they get a hearing before the CLB in order to determine why they were denied a right. The problem here is they haven't been denied any right. All that has been said is that the agency reviewed the scope of work, and that scope of work has been determined to require a license, which I understand is the exact testimony from the CLB in the TFT case. When Ms. Bailey testified, she testified that in fact the scope of work from TFT would require a license. This is the same type of work, and actually more involved because of the electrical and the nature of the voltage that is being dealt with compared to the TFT project. Additionally, Menzies could apply for right now a provisional license, which is allowed for in the statute and the rules and regulations. Menzies has not done so. If they were denied a provisional license, they would have been given a hearing. So again, Menzies has not engaged the agency on any level and has not been denied any right. So I also listened to the TFT testimony before the hearing, and I think what Ms. Bailey was trying to explain when she was talking about TFT was, and consistent with what I just said, is they never have asked for a license. At the hearing, I understand TFT admitted that they, if they need a license, they would get one through a subcontractor. And so I think that's consistent with what we're saying about the due process rights. If in fact, if the decision of the CLB is open, just like in the TFT case, it is open because the only thing left to do is whether or not the CLB is going to issue a citation. If it issues a citation under the standard operating procedures, then they can issue a penalty. If a penalty is issued, then they are required to give notice to Menzies, and Menzies is allowed to have a hearing before the board. And so that's the procedure. So at this point, what Menzies is complaining about as far as due process doesn't exist under the standard operating procedures. I don't think this body has the authority to vitiate the decision of another agency. I understand the request, but I don't think one agency can overlook another agency's decision. And in fact, I think you have to follow that agency's decision. That's how, that's really how orderly government works. If agencies ignore the decisions of other agencies, you essentially have chaos. The decision is on CLB letterhead. It is signed by the executive director. It wasn't done under duress, wasn't done with a gun to his head. And courts regularly and agencies regularly accept things that are drafted by other parties. And they can adopt them or not adopt them or not sign them or throw them away. But this agency issued it, and it has to be respected. And then with respect to GIA's response, I understand that they're critical issues, but I don't think you can dismiss the case based on that. A protest was filed. The allegation in the protest is that the bidder bid the project without a license. That, in fact, is true. And so a determination has to be made whether or not Menzies was a responsive and responsible bidder. And today, they continue to operate at the airport right now without a license. And the agency that employs them is allowing them to do so. And, I understand that no one thinks it's important today, but, when 400 volts of electric goes through somebody and they say, what happened? Everyone will say, well, I don't know. We had a licensed contractor, except you don't have a licensed contractor. And the agency that employs that unlicensed contractor is allowing it. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, did you wish to?
Just briefly. I mean, parties often do file proposed findings of facts and conclusion of law, but that's usually after a hearing or a trial where all parties are allowed to submit proposed findings of facts and conclusion of law. The issue here is that Mr. Elau used a personal connection in order to get the executive director of the CLB, his bro, to issue a decision word for word like the decision that the draft decision that he provided to him. Menzies, who's the party who's actually affected by this, was not provided an opportunity to do that, was not provided notice that this was being done until it didn't find out this was being done at all until it submitted a Sunshine Act request. Mr. Rosano seems to think that if you submit a Sunshine Act request, then that clears everything, though. The fact here is that for a due process to follow its course, everything has to be above board, and that is not what happened here. Menzies didn't even find out about the decision in order until we were provided it by opposing counsel. This decision in order, if you look at the Sunshine Act request response, was emailed specifically to Mr. Elau, who then replied saying, "Merry Christmas, thank you. This will help us very much at the OPA." We weren't provided a copy of this at all, not until the next day when we were given to it by opposing counsel. This is not how due process works. This is the opposite of how due process is supposed to work. This is decisions being made in secret that affect parties that are affected by them. Just because a fine hasn't been issued against Menzies doesn't mean that we haven't been affected by this. Clearly, this decision was obtained in order to affect the outcome of this hearing. Mr. Rosano is arguing that this somehow is a decision, but somehow isn't a decision at the same time. That we shouldn't have an opportunity to complain about it, but then they should have an opportunity to have the OPA rely on this decision in order to affect the outcome of this hearing. It doesn't work both ways. Either it applies or it doesn't apply at all.
Mr. Brenny, do you wish to be heard?
Briefly, Mr. Public Auditor. Mr. Rosano referred to the responsiveness and responsibility determinations of a bidder. I just note on a technical level, this is an RFP. The offerors are ranked as qualified, but responsibility determinations are part and parcel to an award after negotiation. As we've maintained throughout these proceedings, this RFP is still in the negotiation phase, and thus responsibility has not been completely determined. While that may be discussed during negotiation as allowed by the law, I think he is wrong in saying that we've deemed anyone completely responsible if negotiations are ongoing. My reference to these being critical services are just the fact that you gave time to both the parties to give you an update on what's happening at the CLB. All that's been produced is a CLB letter from its executive director to Mr. Elau. Nothing addressed to the airport, nothing addressed to Menzies, such as a stop work order. And they've still not produced anything to that effect to bring to you. When he references technical aspects like 400 voltage and who's gonna handle the 400 voltage, I just did a search into the RFP. Voltage is not mentioned once. 400 is not mentioned once. So if they're gonna manufacture some terms that bring this within the gamut of the license board, it should be done over there because this body does not have the technical expertise to determine whether 400 voltage problems exist or not, whether those issues need to be litigated here. And that's the precise problem we raise in our motion to dismiss, is he's bringing technical matters over here that they think are implied in this RFP, but not specifically stated. And I'll leave it at that, Mr. Public Auditor. I think I've hammered that nail enough between the last hearing and today. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to make it clear that this case is not precedential to anything. I'm dismayed to find that the Contractors License Board is issuing decisions and findings without hearing, because we should be able to, as between agencies, acknowledge and respect such decisions. The way this thing was handled has not only undermined this case, but undermined the other case. the credibility of the contractor's license board has been completely called into question. I thought it was called into question initially when we had the first case in TFT, and that was the reason why I allowed for additional time for Mr. Brennan to listen to the testimony of Ms. Bailey before we did anything in this case. I'm just disappointed Mr. Rosano is not here. Mr. Walsh is not here today, because I would want to know whether or not he had anything to do with the client's outreach to the agency. Yes, you can petition, but to do anything that looks like suborning testimony is unconscionable. The motion to dismiss is granted. This is the final decision. You can prepare it for appeal if you want. The record is set. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
We're off the record at 10:22 a.m. Thank you, everyone.